And welcome to the continuing adventures of Superhero Speak, episode 25. So, I did the voice a little different this time. Not so creepy as Ben complained it was. I didn't think it was creepy. I thought it was a good callback to the old radio serials, and he said I was nuts. So, what do you think? Jump on Facebook and let us know. If you like the voice, I'll go back to doing it. Otherwise, it's gone. Remember, boys and girls, I will be at New York Comic Con this weekend. I will be in Artist Alley most of the weekend, so go and find me. I'll be hanging out with Greg Horn most of the weekend, so stop by and say hi. And finally, if you haven't done this yet, please head over to YouTube.com/users/superhero speak and subscribe to our channel. We will be broadcasting live every Tuesday after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., our YouTube show, Agents of Speak. This is a wrap-up show for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we will be doing live again every Tuesday on YouTube. And, of course, the video will be available afterwards to watch as well. This episode is a panel episode I put together because of the new show on Sci-Fi, Heroes of Cosplay. I watched probably the first 4 or 5 episodes, and I kind of felt it really wasn't a good representation of the cosplay community. So what I did is put together a panel with some of my friends who are cosplayers, And we discussed all the different aspects of cosplaying and what it means to them and what other people think of it and those kinds of things. And I think we did a good job. This is part 1 of 2. It's about an hour long each half. So I think we covered a lot, and this is a good discussion. So this is the Superheroes of Cosplay, part 1. And here we go. Special episode of Superhero Speak. Everyone has heard of the term cosplay, but not a lot of people are sure what it is. The basic definition is costume play, but there's a lot more to it. And there's currently a show on Sci-Fi that a lot of people have been watching, Heroes of Cosplay. But personally, not being a cosplayer myself, but having a lot of friends in the community, I kind of feel like the show isn't a total fair representation of cosplay. So I've put together a panel episode this week, and I have 5 guests with me, all who are good representation of cosplaying, and they're here to talk about it. So let's go around the room, and everyone will introduce themselves and tell everyone a little bit about why they cosplay and how they got started. So we'll start with Tatiana.
Hi, I'm Tatiana. I go by FenChurchNet online, and I got started in cosplay actually at an anime convention when I think I was 18. So I'm super not going to reveal my age, but it was a little while ago. And I kept going because I noticed that, you know, doing it, it made me really happy to make something that made other people happy. And I love making things that people love to see, whether it's a complicated character or a goofy character. And it's really, for me, it's all about connecting with other people and making them happy.
Cool. And Salem?
Hi, Salem. Salem Rain. That is all I go by. I do not have fan pages. I don't have a competition page. None of that. So if you're unfortunate enough to find me, then God rest your soul. I started cosplaying a few years ago. I had actually suffered an accident and got out of the hospital. A friend of mine brought me to my first Comic-Con around the time. And had to be about 2009, so I've been doing it ever since. I primarily started with video game cosplay, and lately in the last year and a half to 2 years, it's mostly been comic book characters, villains mostly.
Good. So
I do a lot of charity events. I enjoy working with children and working on fan films and working with lots of other very talented, amazing people I've been able to meet in the cosplay industry. So It's been fun.
Cool. And next we have our version of Batmite. Mike?
Batmite? Oh, okay. I'm Mike Giametta, and I just started cosplaying recently due to Bryn Londo, who's also a guest. And I do it for, the enjoyment of others, just like Tatiana. I enjoy making a special moment for other people and meeting, people that have common interests with me. And so far, I've met some great people along the way, and that's pretty much why I do it, And I'm Batman, so...
So not Ben Affleck, right?
No, not Ben Affleck. I'm better. I'm like Michael Keaton. Not Batman. No.
Michael Affleck.
Michael Affleck. Yes. Yes.
Affleck.
A new breed.
And returning to the show, a good friend of ours, Eric Cooper.
Hello, guys. My name is Eric Cooper. I'm an author of a superhero called Night Seeker, which I also cosplay as. I started cosplaying back in 2001, actually. I was doing a couple appearances of Spider-Man at conventions, and I went to San Diego, had a great time there. But my first cosplay was actually at Philadelphia Wizard Con, and that's how I pretty much got turned on to doing cosplay. But also, I was going to do a weight issue a year before that, and I got into better shape because of cosplay. I wanted to get my own Spider-Man suit and get in shape for it, and I dedicated myself to doing that, and I reached a goal, and people loved it.
Oh, okay. Short and sweet. I like that. And finally, I think it's Tatiana's favorite guest we have with us, Bryn.
Hi. Yeah, I'm the old guy of the group, Bryn. I've been around since about 1998. I've helped start the Brotherhood of the Bat online forum for Batman costumers, the League of Heroes. I believe we started that in 2003. So I've been here since some of you guys were in elementary school, I think. So,
you're my hero.
Yes. I've been costuming. I don't usually use the word cosplay, but I've costumed since basically since I was a child. And the superheroes are always my favorite, so it was kind of my, an extension from living in an abusive family. My father was a very abusive man, so I used it as almost like an escape hatch, just to focus some creative energy. And then I found out, when I became an adult that I could... do birthday parties, charity events, things like that, and I actually feel like I'm, connecting to my heroes by, trying to do some good. So yeah, I've been doing it for a while, and I'm glad that I spawned a young Batman over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To carry on the legacy.
You should be very, very proud. His spine breaks just like the real thing.
He's my spawn. Yes, there we go.
So, Bryn, actually, I'm glad that you said that, because I think a lot of people get into comic books. I know I personally got into it for a form of escapism. Not abuse at home, but abuse at school. I was picked on a lot as a kid, and it was a I could read Spider-Man and imagine I was Spider-Man and get away from those feelings. So I can right. I can understand that. So. That, which brings me to, my first question, actually, too. A lot of people feel in role-playing, you hear this from people that are really into it, not saying anything other than that, that it requires a role-playing aspect to it. It's not just mm-hmm. putting the costume on. You have to be the character once you put the costume on. So how do you feel about that, Bryn?
Well, I feel kind of like some people take it a little too far. But, that's their own personal... which to me, costuming is very personal. It's what you want it to be. Like I said, some people I feel take it a little too far. You step into the role of Batman, Mike can tell you the same thing. If you really want to portray Batman, you don't smile. You don't, you're not a very nice person to be around. But, if you're going to be around kids, that doesn't really work. You have to almost find a, like mm-hmm. a center to that, But I do know some costumers, and I won't say any, you know, I won't mention names, but they're so character driven when they put on the suit that I don't want them around kids. You know, they're not nice people. But
they play as Lobo.
They play the role to the key. You know, it's, you know, I've actually been next to a gentleman once in the suit, and I had to actually pull him aside and say, "Man, you know, you really ought to lighten up just a little. You're around, you know, a lot of kids." "Oh, but this is how Batman is." "Okay, well, you know, that's your thing." So, you know, I mean, like I said, some people can take it too far. I like to, you know, I like to feel like you're portraying the character with respect, but at the same time, you know, don't forget who you are in the costume, you know.
Right. So, So Mike, when I met you in New York this year, you smiled way too much as Batman. So what do you think about the role play?
You have to find your medium with it, like Bryn said. Like, if you're around kids, you have to, they're scared of you. Because I'm 6'3" in the suit. I'm like 6'5" wearing the thing. And kids are intimidated. They're like, "Holy crap, it's Batman. He's freaking huge." And you have to, you know, give them a high five, show them that you're friendly, you know. But when you're around adults and they're, you know, joking around like, "Your parents are dead," you can joke around back and be, you know, with that Batman voice. But you have to find a medium, because you can't get too much into a character. If you do, then you kind of lose yourself. And, you know, like Bryn said, you offend people around you, you know. I was at a convention in Connecticut, and there was a guy dressed up as a Joker running around and pointing his gun in people's faces with kids around, and that's a little extreme, you know? Like, that's not cool to do. And, you know, even though I'm Batman, I don't, like, you know, run after the Joker and beat the shit out of him. Yeah. You gotta find that common ground, I think, with every character. And Salem does it perfectly when he's Bane, you know? The kids love him, he picks them up and, you know, takes pictures with them, and, you know, everyone has a different take on their character, I feel.
Okay, and you know what? Eric?
Yeah?
I think you have an interesting, you might have an interesting appeal on this. Having read Nightseeker, the character is somewhat autobiographical, I think. And so when you put that costume on and you're promoting your book, you are the character to a point.
Yeah, I am. I mean, Nigel, he is more of the, I guess, the happy-go-lucky superhero guy. But he is also the kind of guy that'll crack a joke, but is that serious tone where you know you just went too far. But he's still, you know, his platform is based on my personality. So for I know I'm the first person to actually do his own novel and his own character, and also doing it, being a cosplayer also on top of it. So it made a very different perspective for doing this type of character and doing cosplay for this character. I mean, it's great. People love it. I don't have to wear a mask because I am the character, so it was cool. People call me Nightseeker or Nigel or Eric. So I have more versatility with the character, which is awesome. And also the suit itself is made of plasma, so it can be different versions of the suit also, which I can wear different suits, and people say, "Well, yep, he still is Nightseeker," so it's great.
Right. And then Tatiana, what about give us the female perspective on role play?
This should be interesting.
In a costume.
Yes, indeed. Corset wow. Or not corset?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say, like, give me the female perspective, because contrary to popular belief, we don't all have the same feelings about cosplay. Personally, I can say that when I look at other people in costume, that it's not necessary for me as a viewer if someone role plays, but, you know, if someone puts that extra bit of effort forth to get into character, then sometimes it makes a cooler experience for, you know, for the people viewing it at least. Personally, when I get into costume, I usually do characters that are either funny or that I really respect. So it's personally very enjoyable for me to get into character. Generally, it's my opinion. So that's just my personal view.
And how about you, Salem?
I know personally a few people that also do get into the role playing, the theatrical aspect of getting into their cosplay character. Like Mike was saying, I do it myself, but to an extent. One of my favorite things to do is every time I pick a character, I try to copy their voice. I'll dress up as Bane, and I will completely mimic the Dark Knight Rises voice and walk around the whole day. I won't break character for it. I'll talk like, you know, Tom Hardy did in the movie.
Example.
What?
Put me on the spot.
Put me on the spot, right?
Do it.
So
when you put on a Night Seeker suit, you'll talk like you're from the hood, or funny part. Yeah,
I will totally do that. I will totally do that. I actually played around a bit with considering doing the Black Panther costume for an entire day.
Terrence would be proud of that.
Keeping myself masked the entire day and just talking like him, and then at the end of the day, I would take my mask off and reveal the most pasty skin on the face of the earth.
his ghost, that's all.
But, I've been suiting up as Bane for a while now. I go to conventions. I will pick up pretty much everybody that comes to take a photo, two people at a time. I'll spend the whole day. They'll come up and they'll say, you know, oh, can I get a picture with you, Bane? And I'll say something like, oh, of course. Clearly, you're a person with impeccable taste. And, you know, I'll make jokes about Batman and breaking Batman. And
I'm standing in the background.
Wearing his Batman suit. Shaking his head. And I'll go so far as to say, you know, like Bryn was saying and Mike was saying, you know, there are limits. I'm Bane. I'm a bad guy, but I get often surprised by how many kids love taking pictures with the bad guys. And even if you are a bad guy, you know, you put on your little high five, you give them a high five, you pick them up, you make them smile. I mean, unless they're wearing a Batman shirt, then I break them after I tip them.
So, okay. So my next question, you know, traditionally, you know, cosplayers are mostly seen at conventions, and they're the ones that usually get the most attention while at conventions. But there's also a lot of stereotypes around cosplaying. You know, the obvious ones that go with anyone that goes to a convention is they're a nerd. They're a loser. They live in their parents' basement. All those, you know, typical kinds of things.
Nothing wrong with my dad's basement.
Yes.
Oh, I'll have you know they moved me up to my own bedroom.
Listen, I pay to live in that basement every month.
I have a bed with a car frame and it drives.
So I'll start with you, Sal. Do you think that these stereotypes are justified, and knowing yourself and knowing other cosplayers, do you think, you know, are you a loser that lives in your parents' basement?
I can answer that question for no, I'm just kidding.
Hey, nobody wants to jump in on that one, do they?
Don't ever raise your hands at once.
You're the master of this. Go ahead. You've seen enough through all the years.
Yeah, I lived in a cave for years, so I can't really say anything. So,
okay, Tony Stark.
You know, I think that I personally think that, you know, stereotypes come from an inkling of truth. So probably somewhere along the line, you know, I mean, if you picked out 100 cosplayers at a convention, you might find that, you know, some of them do maybe live with their parents, or, you know, but they're, you know, maybe they're 18 years old. I mean, cosplayers these days now are younger than ever. And they're out there, you know, they're finding their geekitude. So, I mean, yeah, probably some of them are. But, I mean, it's just like with anything else in life, if you have a wide range of people, you have a wide range of circumstances that go along with those people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might find some of that. But then again, you turn right around and you find this guy who, he might be a multimillionaire and he just likes to go to conventions because he digs it. You know, I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. So my kind of answer to that question is, yeah, probably, but, not for the most part. I'm not going to tell people I still live in my mother-in-law's house. I'm not going to do that. No, but, I mean, it's such a blanket type stereotype. You can find anything that you think you could think of, so. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, we all come from different walks of life, and that's what brings us all together, Just
that's actually the cool thing about it, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm from New York, and Bryn's all the way out of Mississippi, and it brought us together, yeah. The same common interests, And,
oh, you love me.
Yes, I do.
Well, also, you have to admit, though, for most of cosplayers, our bedrooms, our shrines are, we littered with different posters and of different superheroes and sci-fi stuff. We have the coolest rooms out of most of the country.
Yeah, I have pictures of myself all over my room.
That's probably true.
Lightsabers engage.
All right. I don't feel I'll get a fair answer to that question, so I'm going to move on. and I'm going to start with it. I'm going to now go into a topic that I know everyone here has an opinion on. One of the reasons I wanted to do this show was because of the show Heroes of Cosplay.
Woo-hoo!
And I know that every time the show is on, my Facebook and Twitter lights up with people complaining about it. I'm going to go around the room and start off with, what do you think of the show? So, Tatiana?
I think my general opinion of the show could be summarized as reality TV editors need to be paid a lot more than what they're paid. I have no idea what they're paid. I have no idea what kind of money they make, but I'm pretty sure it's not enough for the kind of complete illusion that they create on the television screen. It's so impressive. Because what they do is they take this mountain of footage and cut it in just specific enough of a way that you believe you're watching a linear storyline rather than shots that are taken, days apart. And it's so impressive because people watch this show and believe these caricatures and representations that they create out of the people that are involved in the show. And it's an entire illusion. And I mean, but it's fucking entertaining, right? I'm sorry. Oh my God. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this show. I'm sorry.
I just did it 10 minutes ago, so it's okay.
Oh, did you? Okay. Okay, cool. that's pretty much my opinion on it.
All right. Sarah?
I'm going to reconfirm that I'm going to go with that it's not okay with the profanity, because if I believe it's okay, then we're about to get reckless.
Okay.
Mike knows me.
Yes. Sadly, yes.
I agree with what Tatiana says. I mean, there's so much footage that goes into it. I myself have been lucky enough to be like on a few shows just in the background and whatnot, and I see there's so much footage and so many hours that go into taping all this footage that it has to be compressed, it has to be cut, and it has to be snipped, and I assume of course it's scripted, it's a reality based TV show, so they want what's going to get them the most ratings. They want what they feel is going to keep people coming back the following week to tune in. And I mean, like you were saying earlier, David, your Twitter blows up and your news feeds on Facebook blow up, whether it's positive or it's negative, it's still being viewed. Mm-hmm. Those people are tuning in to bash this show, but they're still tuning in. Right. And they're still
ratings
putting in
year.
The ratings. So It's like they're sitting there saying, hey, negative attention is still attention.
Exactly.
That's true.
We're getting those ratings. You know, it's definitely
But it's not all fake. That's the thing. All scripted. And I think people are getting offended because most of it is kind of real. I mean, you know, like in the sense of like it is that competitive, you know,
it is.
And people are that full of themselves that they have, you know, 100,000 fans on their fan page because they kind of look like, I don't know, Captain America. And they think they are the greatest Captain America ever, you know.
I will agree with him on that. There is a lot of competition in the cosplay community. There is. I've actually experienced that quite a bit. I've separated myself from working with a lot of people that because that's personally not why I got into it. So, you know, I see it on the show, but basically what I'm saying is on my stance, I see where Tatiana's coming from, where it is a cut and scripted show. It definitely is. There's so much footage that goes into it. I'm just saying that not all of the footage is possibly a whole bunch of competitiveness. There's who knows, there's probably a couple of hours of footage that shows them doing what they love to do because they want to do it, not because they want to win a competition. Yeah. But that's not what the show is about. The show is about competitions. So that's exactly what they're going to show. They're going to show you that competitive nature, and they're going to show you that side of cosplay. And whether people want to acknowledge it or not, Mike is right on that sense. You got a lot of people that go online and they're like, oh, no, we're not really like that. No, you are. And get competitive and you get upset. I actually, when I first started doing comic book costumes, my very first costume was a Deadpool costume. I'm a big fan of Deadpool. And I crossed into a convention and I apparently upset another Deadpool costume, a cosplayer, because he thought my costume was better than his. And
How dare you make a good costume? How dare you do something better than someone else?
He thought my costume apparently took away attention from his costume. And, you know, I was kind of shocked, because I still consider myself to this day, I consider myself a noob. Who am I? I'm nobody. I don't have a fan page. I don't have a, you know.
But that's what it's all about, though.
I consider myself this. I'm blessed to be able to have the opportunities that I've had. Will I work on fan films with people? Yes. I travel in and out of state with different crews? Yes. And I love every second of it because it's so much fun, and the people that I work with or the people that I hang out with and that I get to meet have been amazing, fabulous people that, you know, make it worth that time every single time that I go out. But the show itself, Heroes of Cosplay, like I said, they want their ratings. They want their ratings. The show is about competition. That's what they're going to show. They have to compress all that footage into an hour. So that's just the bare bones of it.
So, Mike, I know you have the Yahya Khan calendar hanging in your father's basement.
Let me tell you. Fireplace to burn.
Right next to his pillow, actually.
Yes.
But Yaya should have been part of this because I've known her for eons. She's an amazing person to meet. Personality wise, she's great. Great person to meet.
Well, but I mean,
she's working on her brand.
Yes,
yeah,
she is.
Well, I'll ask you this, Eric, since you spoke up and defended her.
Next time I see you, Eric, you watch yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
The way she's represented in the show, it's all she takes it extremely serious, and you know, yeah, she keeps saying it's all about my brand. It's all about my brand, and makes a lot of comments about the competition side of it and everything. I think it, in some ways, paints her in a bad light. Do you think she's being fairly represented in the show?
Well, you know what? Here's the funny part. Ready? I'm so busy writing books, I haven't really watched the show at all. I didn't know she was even the judge on the show.
How dare you defend her then, man?
I've met her personally. Well, this is off camera. I'm talking about off camera, not on camera. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. The thing is, when you're on a show, you're gonna give the. It's like wearing a different hat. You're not gonna wear your normal hat. You're gonna wear something different to highlight what you want.
Why
to highlight.
Why do they do that? That's the thing that people are confused about, though, Eric, is that, you know, Yaya is such a sweetheart at the conventions. I've been seeing Yaya since 1999 at, you know, DragonCon. But when you put her on television and she allows these people to edit her in such a way that she comes off as super mega B, you know, it's not, I mean, if she is so intent upon growing her brand, she should be totally over every aspect of that show to the point where, you know, she says, hey, this portrays me in a bad light. Please don't put that in the show. Now, does she have any control over that whatsoever? Who knows? I don't know.
Probably not.
You know, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. She probably had. She probably signed away her ability to veto what they put on the show. But that's the same thing as with any, you know, any person who officiates or puts themselves over, you know, a situation where they're being looked upon. If you act a certain way, that's the way people are going to take you. You know. So mm-hmm. I think the show personally could have been an awesome portrayal of what the costume and cosplay world is, but it's unfortunate because they didn't go into that situation, you know, in that direction. So indeed. You know, I mean, yeah,
well, think of it like the movies nowadays. You know, it's, you know, the book is there, but when we get to a movie on whatever subject, Hollywood makes it their own. They don't hardly reference the book whatsoever. You'd be surprised to get half of the stuff in the book.
But every group is like this, though. That's the thing. And every group has a negative and positive side to it, you know? Not just our hobby, but I also like cars, too, you know? And there's that one asshole in the car group, too. You know? It's just the way it's portrayed. Everyone... Sorry. Oh, God. condemn me. But it's just, that's what I think is, you know what, people are getting angry because the show is showing a side of the community that it is like that, you know? And they're like, we're not like this. Yeah, not everyone's like that in the community, but there are people that are like that in the community that are that competitive, that cutthroat, that don't care unless they win. And you know what? That's how it is in every hobby, you know? And that's just my perspective on it. It's not editing. It's not, you know, fake. It's just that's how some people are, you know? And you have that one girl, I don't even know her name, I think John Dykstra's daughter, that her mind was blown in one of the episodes because she's like, damn, is it really like this? You know? And yeah. I mean, see that.
The thing is, he was... Well, earlier he said, is Yaya being portrayed in a fair way? I wouldn't even say it mattered whether she was being portrayed fairly or not. She's even if she isn't talking a certain way throughout the entire footage of the show that's, you know, taped, at some point in time, she did say the things that she said, and that did come out her mouth. So that gets edited, and that gets slapped on TV. So... she's not being portrayed, if she's not being portrayed fairly, it's really because what comes out of their mouth is everything that they say. She is literal like that, and honestly, as I watched a few of the episodes, I do believe her in a sense that, you know, she goes on there and she says that she's seen as an ambassador for cosplay. She has to crank out costumes every 2 weeks to a month. Just to keep the likes up going on her page. And to be honest, it is true. I've met quite a lot of people that are fans of hers, and they'll go on her page and they'll like every single photo that they possibly can. I can only imagine the ungodly cluster of Facebook notifications that she has to wake up to every day. And
not her, her husband.
I think he's the secretary of the family. He's the secretary.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's like, you know, I've met people that will say, well, she's my idol. She's the reason that I started cosplaying. And I'll say yes, okay. She the way she
that's good, though.
the way that she says on the show, you know, honestly, even if it's negative, she has valid points that she's displayed on the show. Whether you agree with her or you disagree with her, you don't like her, you like her, there's a lot of things that she says that are valid, you know. And I know a lot of people that will come down on her because of her body
and modifications.
And you know, but she does have a valid point, because yes, if she doesn't crank out a certain amount of costumes, then you know, I do see people go back and forth with her. So you know, if it comes down to a point of, hey, if you don't want to be viewed at on an unfair light, then maybe some of the things that you're so okay with saying on TV shouldn't be said in the first place.
I will say, though, I would like to say, and at the same time as you are, as you're saying that, it goes back to the fact that what Brim was saying about them signing a contract, and unfortunately, what is probably involved in being in a show like that is, we are going to sign you up and have you, you know, sign your name on this line to say whatever we are going to script you to say.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate aspect of reality TV, but at the same time, it is what it is. And I can't speak to whether they really read every word of what they were signing or knew exactly what they were signing on.
But is there proof that they said any of this? Like, there was a script?
Basically, Yaya on the show is pretty notorious for every week doing damage control, which is basically, you know, this happened on the show, and now she's going to go on YouTube and going to go on her Facebook and say, it's all part of the show, guys. This was not what I meant. There's this really notorious video now of her and Jessica Negri after she made the comment about her. They have a video on YouTube saying, no, we really love each other in real life. And no, I would never say anything bad about her if I wasn't on a TV show. But it's like every week, it's like she does damage control every week.
Yeah, because she's like, she's probably like, oh, I said that. And then it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. So let me go fix what I said, kind of.
And that's very possible as well.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
I mean, that's what I'd do.
I can tell you guys, it didn't happen, so I can say this now, but I was in talks with producers for Comic Book Man. I was going to be on there, but I didn't get picked at the end. But I can tell you that I was talking to the producers, and they were telling me what to say when I go into the store to buy what I was going to buy. So, you know, just
that. That was just an audition, right?
Right. Well, that's Comic Book Man is just at the comic book store. People go in and buy and sell things, you know, so
like on stars of
exactly that. Like, so on a show like that, if the producers are telling the guests what to say, obviously on Heroes of Cosplay there's some scripting going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the drama probably.
Now I know, speaking of that show, and Yaya, and I know we're gonna lose Tatiana soon, so I want to get this question in before she goes.
Okay.
Well, because this is something we need a woman's perspective on. One of the things that had come up on the show, and just in general, you know, there's a lot of sexuality around women in cosplay, and in one of the episodes, I can't remember the character, the woman's name, the younger girl on the show who learned how to cosplay from Yaya was
Monica.
Veronica. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Monica.
Thank you. She was going to wear a costume that was sexy. She wore it anyway, and Yaya is telling her not to do it. And of course, Yaya wears a lot of revealing costumes. So in that respect, women who wear sexy costumes get a lot of attention at conventions, right? I mean, that's hands down. Everyone can agree to that. Some of it positive, a lot of it negative. Being the father of a 19-year-old girl, I know I don't appreciate any of the negative attention that they get. But there's also the argument on the other side that women invite it by dressing like that. I don't think that's true, but on one hand, you're going into a room full of a bunch of guys who don't get girls on a regular basis. So now to wear a skimpy Wonder Woman costume or Black Cat costume or anything like that, or Poison Ivy, you're going to draw attention. And, you know, I guess, what are your feelings on it, Tatiana?
I guess, well, you as you just said, it's of the opinion of some people that women invite that kind of attention by dressing like that. I would flip that on its head by saying that we never invited anyone to draw the characters that we love in such revealing costumes. Mm-hmm. That's something that, you know, that we never asked for, but we try to embody those characters by getting the costumes as accurate as we can because of a love of character, not necessarily for how the costumes were made. And that's just speaking from my personal experience. There is, on the other hand, the flip side of girls who are, a lot of girls are boot babes at convention. Mm-hmm. And they'll get the negative attention because they were paid to dress up as a character. And people will talk to them and find out that they don't know anything about the character. And that's not their fault. But they're just doing a job at a convention. And, you know, there are so many factors that go into it that it's probably close to impossible to give a all-encompassing answer on that subject without stepping on somebody's toes or offending somebody. But personally, from my point of view, I dress as the characters I dress as because I appreciate their characters and I appreciate the art that has brought them into being. So that's what I can personally say on that. So how about you, boys? What do we think about this?
Ooh, so many toes to step on. Where do I start?
I hate gender benders. That's all I'll say.
Oh, you hurt my heart.
I find this funny because David, you recently added me on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I have an old folder on Facebook. If you find it, you'll come to realize I actually have cosplayed quite a few females.
Mm-hmm. I am looking up your Facebook as we speak, Sam.
I will add you later today. I will show you a photo. Nice. So it's funny to me because I actually did this thing where for a full year I only cross-played, which was basically just doing female characters. And it got me to kind of, I guess it was funny to me because I would go to events with my at the time, my girlfriend, and she did some good work on me as far as the costume goes. And it really got me to open up my eyes to see, it's like when women say, you know, you have to walk a mile in our shoes. I've walked a mile in your shoes, lady.
Well, the girlfriend fire said, the sister aren't. She always wanted. That's the girlfriend fire said. The sister she always wanted.
So, you know, it's like Tatiana says, I mean, these characters, these women that are drawn in comic books, though, they're drawn a specific way with a specific costume. And, you know, as a cosplayer, you want to get your costume as accurate as possible because, you know, there's people that will come at you and say, oh, well, your costume wasn't accurate enough, or that's not how the character looks because, well, you just might on your day say, well, I want to be modest and I want to cover up this part of my body, or I want to cover up my chest, or I want to, and they'll disapprove of your costume. Just because you do dress that way, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and I can
Just because that they do dress that way does not mean, you know, hey, guys, this is an invitation for you to, you know, hold me a certain way when we take a picture or touch me on a certain spot when we take a picture, you know. It's just not, it's not right, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's really, it could be just definitely that love of the cosplayer. You know, you want to get your costume accurate, but at the same time, it doesn't mean, hey, half of me is hanging out. Here's an invitation to smack all sides.
I honestly thought it was. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I have no say in this because when I'm in the bat suit, I wear glasses, so I don't see anything.
Blind as a bat.
Exactly. Salem has to tell me what's going on.
I'll be Daredevil either or.
Yeah.
It is that way. I feel a little bad on that part because I've hung out with a lot of really talented female cosplayers, and sometimes it's hard. It's hard to make friends with them because, you know, you might not be that guy that's creepers. They call them creepers, right? You might not be that way, but because they've been so accustomed or used to dealing to guys like that, you know, they're constantly in a flight or fight mode. And it's a question of, well, can I trust this person? Can I not trust this person? You know, is it okay to hang out with this person? And you know, it's a little sad because you know, you get written off as one of those people that are, you know, just because, you know, you just because you're a certain way or just because everyone else is a certain way, you're going to get judged on that way because they've experienced it so much.
That's more than a little sad. I mean, honestly, that's really sad because cosplay as a community and conventions and geekdom and fandom is supposed to be this inclusive, safe place. And when women feel like that, who dress up in these costumes, as you put it, Salem, they're in this fight or flight mode when they constantly have to be on the defensive. That's really sad. Because it completely contradicts everything that really conventions were based around and that our, you know, a lot of our community really is based around, which is this inclusive spirit. And I don't know, to me, that's just a very sad state of affairs.
I've noticed females that have dressed up as more of less clothing on type costumes. They'd be accompanied with a boyfriend or with their female friend. So they're not there solo by themselves and feeling uncomfortable. So most of the time I do have someone with them, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely would recommend if you're going to dress up like that, don't do it alone.
Exactly. When you cosplay, bring a safety partner.
But you know,
stranger danger.
not a wingman. So it's not a wingman. What female be called? A wing woman or
hot girl? I don't know.
Listen, I just got Robin.
All right, Bryn, you had something to say?
Oh, God, this is a great group. It's hard to talk to you guys.
Sorry.
You know, it's actually. And what I've noticed about it is that people take things to extremes at conventions. You know, yes, there are characters who are drawn a specific way, but then you have, I don't know what it is in people that want to take it to the next level. They take the original concept of, say, Power Girl, and then they do a battle damage Power Girl or something where you have way more skin shown, or, you know, it's like they're trying to come up with an idea to step above the other popular characters, like, like Black Cat. It used to be, you know, sexy, but you didn't see a lot of skin, and then all of a sudden, you know, you saw one girl, matter of fact, one of the heroes from Cosplay Girl, who came out with Black Cat, but she had her suit unzipped almost to her belly button, you know, and then you start saying, well, she did it like this, I need to do this, you know. So there is that aspect of where people take a sexy character, Black Cat, Power Girl, you know, Lady Death, you know, those kind of characters, and then they go, it's like they go on steroids or something, you know. They want to up the ante to it.
It's a one-up mentality, absolutely.
Quick, Bryn, get me that duct tape and that dental floss. That's all I need for the costume.
Well, I've never seen a Lilo from Fifth Element, Lilo Damage, yet, so if that gets to that point, then we got issues.
I'm taking notes here for my next costume.
You know, Pinscher, Tatiana, she did Black Canary a couple of years ago when we did our Hawks. And it was very sexy, but it was not over the top, hey, look at all of my gear. You know, it was tastefully done. And, you know, there are those that I see who do Wonder Woman, Black Canary, certain characters, they come off very tastefully sexy. But, then there's, you look around the con and you'll see somebody who is like, slutty sexy, you know, with their entire butt hanging out of the Black Canary costume.
I need to get contacts. So, I've been missing out on so much.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what I've been missing?
You're missing a lot, buddy.
What have I been doing with my life?
Yeah. I feel like there are just different levels of that situation. And I have a daughter who's 15, so I relate to what you're saying about your 19-year-old daughter. You know, when I first took my son to Dragon Con, I wouldn't let him go before he was 10. You know, he wanted to go, but, you know, I've seen so many things, it was like, no, I'm going to wait a little while longer. So, you know.
Good to you to be a man today, son. Good to you to
Today is your day, my boy. But my daughter's never been to Dragon Con. She's 15 years old, and she's really never expressed an interest in going. But at the same time, I understand exactly what he's saying. You know,
Is it true? Because I've heard legend, horrific, like all kinds of tales of Dragon Con.
Oh, they're all true. No, I kid you not, they're all true.
They're all true.
Dragon Con is glorious.
Glorious.
I'm going next year. Yes.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Dragon Con.
Are you guys bringing me?
Yeah. I'll have contacts next year.
I just sent Tatiana some horrific photos on Facebook of myself.
Oh, so yes.
she gets to see some horror.
It's definitely, I agree, you know, you can do sexy and do it conservatively.
Tastefully,
yes. Thank you. Yeah, and there's definitely a one-upsmanship, and I'm a man, so I can't say this for sure, but I do think that a lot of times that holds true more for women, and that might be more the reason why you see this, you know, the sluttier costumes, which brings us to the concept of competition in cosplaying, which is the focus of the show, Here Is a Cosplay. I mean, they only focus on the competitions, as we've talked about already. And you guys have talked about a little bit so far of all you guys that I've, you know, the ones I've met, the other cosplayers I know, like every once in a while they compete, but I never get the sense that it's that strong of I must compete kind of mentality as they show in the show. So I'm kind of curious what you guys think of that, and I'll start with Mike this time.
I mean, honestly, I've been asked to compete, like to go join a quote-unquote group and, you know, do it. But I just won't because it's not fun then. It takes away from the fun because I don't think I'm better than anyone else, you know. I'm not better than the other Batman. I'm not better than, you know, anyone else who does it. I just do it to have fun. And I wouldn't want a trophy in my room to say I have the best costume at this show. I don't care if I have the best one or not. It's just the experience that I take away from that event that is the prize alone. You know? I don't know. If it's like some people do it as a living, you know, make these costumes and, you know, put their heart and soul into it and they go into competition to get, you know, exposure, and that's a good thing. But for me, it's definitely not a side of it that I really care about personally or would ever go into, you know. But I don't know, Bryn, what do you have to say on it? Because, you know, you do it as a living, so maybe he has a different perspective on it than me.
Well, I don't do my own personal costuming for a living. I do commissions and pieces for other people, but I think competition is good. you know, if that's what you're into. I think it's not portrayed correctly on Heroes of Cosplay because, seriously, a couple of years back, I don't remember any of the big cons offering that kind of money. I think a lot of that was, you know, within the show, and they, you know, they might have stepped it up. Yeah, yeah, it was, you know, I mean, I remember, I think Dragon Con maybe got up to, their grand prize was like 50 dealer dollars or something like that in the, you know, so, yeah, it was nothing great, but I mean, competition is great. If you, I mean, I know professional costumers who they want to go just for the competition, and they're really, really serious about what they do because, you know, they have different classes. But it's all been more about the classes and the swag that comes along. And yes, I said swag. the swag that comes along with the contest. I mean, San Diego had different categories, and I think like Marvel and DC, Dark Horse, they all gave gifts that were more centered on their individual companies, you know. But I never really saw any big money. But, I mean, it was fun for people to do that, you know. And I think competition, if you are into it, competition is good.
Okay. How about you, Eric? As I know, you mainly cosplay to promote
The character. But yeah, I mean, I do other characters also, and I like the Spider-Man style ones, like my Alex Ross suit. I mean, I love when Jim Lee will actually call me over and say, "Hey, dude, I need to take pictures." It's like they stop me and say, "He's calling over." Or even my Superman suit that I wear once in a while. I had Brandon Rolfe's people from the movie set stop me and say, "Look, we need to take a picture." I said, "Why?" I said, "You got your guy right there." Said, "Nah, dude. I mean, you're wearing a suit. You got a nice build. Well, dude, we got to take a picture now." So, you know, it's great. But the other flip side of things also is, well, you know, I'm black. He's white, and you know, and the funny part about doing characters, especially if you're doing a white character and you're black, you know, some people say, "Well, dude, why are you wearing a suit? You're not this, you know." And that's one thing that should be stricken out of everybody's mind is about the race card. It should not be used whatsoever, not for cosplay. It's just that a person admires the character they do, and if they portray it well, it shouldn't matter what color skin they are whatsoever. But for some people, that is an issue, and I don't know why it is today.
Okay. I totally agree. How about you, Salem? What do you think?
I've taken part in a few contests, I guess, like Wizard World competitions, but not so much in the aspect of actually competing to win. Honestly, I don't see myself as a competitive cosplayer because I'll agree with Mike on what Mike said. It's really more of the experience. I go to every event because I get all these great friends from different states. I don't get to see my friends that often because we live so far apart. And where do we meet up to have all this fun? Well, we meet up at conventions. And when we do, we have a great time. And that's pretty much it. You take away the experience from it when it just becomes about, you know, I have to have the best costume. I have to win this prize, you know. On the show Heroes of Cosplay, I saw some of the ways that some of them were explaining, you know, saying, "Oh, well, I want to win this costume contest. I want to win this competition because it'll be nice to, you know, have some sign of validation or showing that, you know, I'm doing something right." And really, at the end of the day, I personally do it because it's fun to do. It's great to have these experiences. I don't care if the next 100 people, you know, look at my costume and say, "Hey, you got the wrong shoelaces on that boot, buddy. No, you're not accurate enough to be that character." You know, did I have fun at the end of the day of that convention? Yes? Okay, then that's all I should be able to take away from it, that I had a great time hanging out at this convention. And that's really, you know, what it should be about. It should be about the fun of the aspect. You know, not this heavily competitive spirit. I personally have, you know, been around a lot of competitive cosplayers. It's not an environment that that I personally enjoyed being in. So, like I said earlier, I did have to step away from that. But it's like Mike said. It's if you're not doing it for fun, then you know, at the end of the day, look back. When did you start doing it? You started doing it because you want to dress up like a character that you loved so much to have a great time. You know,
right.
Not to win that couple of $100 prize. You know, there are hundreds of people that compete, and maybe only 3 to 5 prizes. You know, you can't go up there and be discouraged because you didn't beat out the next 100 people. It's a lot of competition out there.
And also, don't forget though, these large conventions like San Diego Comic Con. You know, people like David Santiago that I know, a personal friend of mine. You know, you could be at the contest for 4 hours that takes you off the floor from having fun, and you're just waiting to go on stage and show off your costume and hopefully you win. But it's 3 or 4 hours out of your fun time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. I'll agree with him on that. I went to the very last, I think it was Otakon, and oh my god, the line was so, it's just long. I was like, there's no way I would, it was all kinds of no. I could be on the floor hanging out and having fun, and instead I'm stuck in a room waiting to get 10 seconds on a stage, you know.
Yeah.
I'll pass. I will say it's a good way to get exposure for your costume. You know, I know some cosplayers that make some incredible costumes, and they will go and compete, and right after all the photos are taken, they'll just leave.
Right.
They don't even stick around for the announcement.
Now, I know Tatiana has a closet full of awards from all of her competitions.
Oh, yeah, they're just, I don't even have space to put them, actually, to display them, because they're
so you're funny. A monster.
It's hard, man. Sometimes when I try to fall asleep under her bed, the shoebox is full of trophies just getting their way into my head.
Right? She just doesn't
get that.
My God.
So, have you ever competed?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, but actually, I haven't. No, I've only ever gone into, like, the masquerades, you know, where you just kind of go up on stage and say, hey, this is my costume, take a look. I've never actually gone to judging and been like, look at my impeccable stitch work, because quite frankly, it's really not that pretty up close.
Velcro work.
Sorry. Did you say Velcro work? I know, right? Look at these beautifully hot glued lines of Velcro.
Just make sure a Janet Jackson scenario doesn't happen on stage, please.
Yeah, exactly. No, two-face tape, we got all that covered. But yeah, no, I've never been in a competition situation. And personally, I'm super okay with that. You know, like, I love just walking around a con and having people enjoy what I'm wearing. You know, it doesn't matter to me if I take a trophy home. You know, every little girl who runs up to me and thinks that I'm Wonder Woman is worth so much more than any trophy I could ever get.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you should shoot for right there. And then your Wonder Woman is awesome. So if you inspire some little girl to cosplay as Wonder Woman one day, wouldn't that be awesome that you know 20 years from now some little girl says, yeah, the reason she's on an interview show somewhere and she's saying, you know, I was inspired by this girl I saw, and it's you, you know, so.
Yeah, you're sitting in your wheelchair just saying, like, wow. Kill.
I am not that old, thank
you. But in 20 years from now, you know, but, you know, I'll be there, but. Yeah, awesome to inspire.
Indeed.
I agree. What he says is it's very true. The kids, there's so many events where you know, I've done a few charity events for children. I've done some. I did a Toys for Tot events last year where, due to Hurricane Sandy in New York, we got dressed up like heroes and we passed out gifts and took pictures with kids while they were getting gifts from Santa. You know, to all the needy kids in the area that their homes were affected by Hurricane Sandy. And
you take them out of that devastation and that depression. You know, you actually pull them out of that for a little while and let them smile and feel good again.
Yeah, it's a fantastic experience. You know, even Kineticon, when I recently went with Mike there, and he was Batman and we had Robin and we had and I was Bane. You know, it was great to see so many kids out there. You know, which I like seeing more and more, that more conventions are getting very kid friendly. Yeah. So, you know, kids were coming in. We actually, we had an opportunity. We were walking by a glass wall, and a child was having a birthday party, and they looked like walking dead zombies. They were banging on the glass, trying to get Batman's attention. And I was like, Mike, they're going to kill us if we don't get in there.
But mind you, I did not see this, because I wasn't wearing my glasses.
He was blind, and I'm like, yeah. Mike, they're kids. They're slamming their fists on the glass like the walking dead.
And we went in, and they thought I was Batman, and that's what made me want to do it more, was when some kid believes you're Batman, that just makes the day for you. The kid ran up to me and was like, I play your video game Lego Batman all the time, and all I play is Batman, I swear to God. And I'm like, that's good. And he's like, where's Robin? And I had a Robin with me, and his mind was blown. There's a Robin. And my friend, she was dressed up as Black Cat, but for some reason, he thought she was Catwoman, and his mind was blown.
Whatever works.
Yeah. Like, no, this is Storm, not Catwoman.
That's what makes it, you know, sometimes it's the kids. It's the kids' faces that make your day. Because out of the whole convention that day, I probably have to say that crashing that kid's birthday party to take photos with all the little kids, that just, you know, made everything. They were so happy, so much fun. You know, a kid runs up to me, he says, oh my God, it's Bane, and I pick him up, and then I throw him in the pool.
And that's when I walked away, because I saw a lawsuit happening.
Yeah. And his parents are like, yeah, chuck my kid in the pool next, you know? It's okay, it's Bane.
A signal, I gotta go.
Also, a great thing is happening lately. I don't know if you guys have noticed, though, there are now more of Indian descent actually coming to the cons now with their families. And I was like, whoa. I said, the culture is really opening up more now for the cosplaying and also for people going to conventions. It's actually becoming more diverse with more people.
Actually, great point, Eric. And that brings me to another one of my questions.
Actually, David, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. I've got to go. This has been wonderful speaking with all of you guys. Thank you so much.
That was great.
It's been absolutely lovely. Thank you.
A pleasure.
You're leaving
us with all this testosterone.
Yes.
There's no
female aspect to keep us in line anymore. So,
well, then I leave you to the mayhem. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing it, Todd.
Of course. No, this is lovely. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
All right, take care.
Bye, Tatiana.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go. Part one of Superheroes of Cosplay. I hope you enjoyed. And make sure you tune in next week for part two. For now, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak. Make sure you can reach out to Ben at superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.